seems to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. This is Mark Dick. I'm your host, and I am super glad that you are listening to the show today. We've got a really interesting show because Arlo Brandl, who was already on an earlier show, is back. I was out to see him at his brand new bakery in Tecumseh, Michigan, a few days before it opened for real. And we sat down across the table and had a really good conversation about what he's been up to in the last couple of months. And in his case, it's been some pretty big changes with a new bakery space, plus going through the Bread Bakers Guild certification program. He is now a certified bread baker. And we talk a bit about that and what it's all about and why he decided to go through the process and what the process was like. But that's going to come up in a bit. Before we do that, I just want to give you a bit of an update. If you heard the last couple of shows, you know that I've been traveling with my lovely wife, Cindy. We got back a couple days ago. We were traveling through Ontario, the Canadian province of Ontario. All in all, we clocked in at 8,100 kilometers round trip, which is about 5,000 miles, which is far too long, far too much to drive in 3 weeks, but we did it anyways. We left in the middle of September and got back just on Thanksgiving weekend, or Canadian Thanksgiving weekend in October. And it was a lot of fun. We saw a lot of things. We drove through Manitoba, around into Ontario, around Lake of the Woods, around Lake Superior, down alongside Lake Huron, got into Michigan. We went as far out as Ottawa and saw our friends Giacomo and Martina. We drove through a tornado. We dealt with power outages because of a tornado. Got down to Michigan to visit an aunt of mine and my aunt and uncle and to see Arlo. Drove down to Akron, Ohio to see my buddy Vince and see another baker friend of mine that you'll also hear from in a couple of weeks. And then made the long trek home along Lake Huron again through the Bruce Peninsula and took a ferry to Manitoulin Island. And came back around Lake Superior through Winnipeg again and Manitoba and back into Saskatchewan. And now I'm at home. And, you know, we learned a lot. We went to so many bakeries. I did a few podcast episodes live, which you'll be hearing over the next couple of weeks, and have a long, long list of Canadian bakers to talk to over the coming weeks and months. It's been neat because I know I've spent a lot of time talking with American bakers through my contacts with the Bread Bakers Guild. Let's be honest, there's a lot more Americans than Canadians that are in the Bread Bakers Guild of America. But there is a lot of good stuff going on in Canada, and the baking scene in Canada, from what we saw on this trip, is alive and well. And so I intend to be bringing some more Canadian voices to the show over the coming weeks and months. We saw a lot of bakeries on this trip. A lot of bakeries and a lot of different styles and a lot of different business models, which was quite fascinating. We saw bakeries that combined sort of bread bakeries and pizza shops. That were also, you know, selling cookies and some sweets as well. But, you know, there it looked like the main business was pizza, secondary business was bread, and a tertiary business was some of the sweet treats. We saw an awful lot of bakery cafes where, you know, it's more of a breakfast and lunch place, but they also have bread and other sweets. We saw a lot of traditional, or what I would call old school bakeries, you know, a lot of white flour, a lot of donuts, a lot of butter tarts, that kind of thing. But you know what? They were hopping as well. They were very, very busy. And the quality of what they were making was very high, or seemed very high as well. You know, you can make a lousy apple fritter like at Tim Hortons, or Dunkin' Donuts, or you can make an outstanding apple fritter. And we saw a lot of places that were making darn fine donuts and apple fritters and tarts and that kind of thing. The kind of thing that the old ladies that used to come into my shop would call, you know, baking. You know, they'd see all the display cases and then they'd say, but do you have any baking? Meaning like the little squares and the sweet treats and stuff to take to tea. So that was really, really cool to see, you know, and I guess the thing that we saw in common with all of these places, no matter what they were making, was there was a lot of community support there from what we could see. You know, the shops that were, you know, selling what I would call, you know, traditional white flour, old school bakeries were still humming. And not just with old folks, young folks, road crews picking up their donuts for the day at 7 a.m. They were going hard. And, you know, we had to get in line at 7 a.m. To buy our treats. You know, the places that had gone the bakery cafe route, like we saw a really beautiful space in Barrie, Ontario. You know, it was a full-on lunch and coffee shop, but they had some really good-looking bread there as well. Down in Cobourg, Ontario, I went to visit my buddy Doug, who I hope to get on the show in a while as well. And he went the brick oven route and has been going strong for 13 years and expanding, all with the Alan Scott oven that he built himself. And, you know, he's gone into more of the, call it the bakery and deli route. There's a lot of other products, local products on the shelves there, from apple butters to different cookies and crackers, some that he makes, some that he brings in, to all kinds of chutneys and mustards and all that, those kind of local artisanal treats that are complementary to the bread that he's baking. You know, I also visited another guild friend of mine, Thelma, who works as a pastry chef at a farm in southern Ontario that does a booming business with, especially now in the fall, with pies and butter tarts and pumpkin pies. And they've got thousands and thousands of pumpkins for sale. And there's a corn maze, and it's almost like a little amusement park with a bakery on the side. And they were making a phenomenal number of butter tarts for the Thanksgiving weekend and pies for the weekend. And we stopped by to visit them when they were doing prep, you know, about 10 days before Thanksgiving, and just looking at how they were figuring out how to get ahead of the game so that they could survive through the Thanksgiving long weekend when they expected literally thousands of people to come out to the farm and get their pumpkins and go through the corn maze and take pictures and all of that thing, and to have food for these folks. So it was really cool to visit with Thelma and see how they were figuring things out, all of those little hacks that people figure out, because you know what, we only have so much refrigeration, or we only have so much freezer space, or we only have so many pans, and somehow we're going to make 4,000 butter tarts on Thanksgiving weekend, so let's figure it out. So that was a lot of fun. Ontario is also in cottage country in Ontario, north of Toronto, and it's you know, big tourist seasons in the summer. And so we saw a lot of places that were kind of winding down for the season. And we saw some where, you know, you could really see they were making all their money in the summertime because that's when the people were there. And now maybe they're only going to be open a couple days a week through the winter to keep the locals happy and keep them stocked. But the real work was going to be coming in the spring again when they get flooded with campers and tourists and people heading through town. You know, so I guess the thing to summarize all of this, if there was a trend through the whole thing, was that, you know, you can make good products no matter what it is, right? So if you're going to mill your own flour and do go down the whole grain route, which is something that personally interests me a lot these days, great. You can go make the good stuff that way. You can also make the good stuff if you're just going to make donuts. You can make really darn good donuts, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, whatever you're making, make it as excellent as you can. and an excellent fit for your customers, and you know, things have a better chance of working out. Also, no matter which place we went to, and we went to a lot of shops, they're all serving their people. They all have their community that they're serving, and you could see the support in all of the places. Sometimes they had to go a little bit further afield to find enough of their people to make it go. We dropped in late in the day in a bakery in Stratford, Ontario, and had a really good chat with the young lady that was working at the front. But the owner was at a market, you know, 20 miles away because it was market day, and he was selling a lot of bread and pastries at the market and was just on his way back to Stratford. So, you know, sometimes not everyone's going to come to your shop, or not everyone that you need is going to come to your shop. And so there were, thankfully, in Ontario, there's an awful lot of markets because folks were heading out to those as well to sort of expand the reach of people that they could attract. You know, and that's, I guess, one of the things that's quite a bit different from Ontario, or at least central and southern Ontario, than I get in Saskatchewan, is just the sheer number of people. We would go into what looked like a very small town, and the population was, you know, 12, 13, 15, 18,000 people. And in Saskatchewan, the number 10 city in Saskatchewan is like 8,000 people, I think, you know, to be the 10th biggest city. And these were tiny little towns, and they were routinely that big. And so there were just people there to support these places where, you know, maybe in a place like Estevan, Saskatchewan, it's going to be tougher because the serving area is much more finite, and the distances are just plain larger. So, you know, so they've got the advantage there. An awful lot of people live in Ontario. But, you know, if you're in a densely populated area, or even a fairly large rural area, you know, I think things are looking up much better than what we get in areas like Saskatchewan and Manitoba, where sparse is very, very sparse indeed. You know, so you know, there were people there to support these places, and there was a lot of very vocal support for their little neighborhood shops. When I was in Guelph, Ontario, talking to Jesse at Polestar Bakery, that was the longest chat ever because people kept breaking in and sharing their stories about why they loved this place so much with it, which I thought was really cute. Well, more than cute, it was excellent. It was awesome. So going to see that, or you're going to get a chance to hear that in a couple of weeks as well. So yeah, it was a really good trip, you know, and the variety of bakeries, the variety of products, the variety of combinations that you can get to make the thing work for you and for your community, and the very strong community support. The only other tip that I have from traveling for 3 weeks is that there is no right answer to opening hours. That's the other thing that we learned quite often the hard way. You know, what we were used to, and the assumption going in, that don't expect many places to be open on Sunday. Don't expect many places to be open on Monday, but usually Tuesday through Saturday, you're fine. And we found several places that were open Sunday, but closed Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday to Sunday seemed quite popular to be open. Sometimes Thursday to Sunday, if it was a smaller shop or a solo shop. Some were open in the mornings. Some, especially like the pizza places, maybe wouldn't open till 4 in the afternoon. So we were learned after looking through an awful lot of closed up places, looking through the window, that we might need to phone ahead or search ahead to plan our trip a little bit better, because I think we went 0 for 6 in the first 6 bakeries we stopped in on were all closed on the way out. One of the reasons we came back around Lake Superior and through Winnipeg again was to hit a couple of places that we missed on the way out because they were closed. So, and in both cases, in Thunder Bay and in Winnipeg, it was well worth the trip. We had some amazing food and got to talk to some really cool folks. And hopefully if the technology and timing works well, I'm going to be able to share some of those conversations with you in the coming weeks. So it was a great trip. If you are a baker and you feel that you're tied to your bench and you can't get out to visit other bakeries, I would encourage you to really think hard about what would it take to make it work for you to get out and visit other places, because it's very inspiring. You will learn so much and get so many ideas about what to bring back to your place that it's going to pay off if you can hit the road a little bit and spend some time in other bakeries. I do the best I can with the podcast to bring the other bakeries to you and to your ears while you're at work. But I admit that this is a substitute for a better experience if you can get out there yourself. So I will continue to do the best I can to bring you stories from bakeries around Canada, around the U.S. and around the world. But if you can get out and see them for yourself, that's a really good thing to do as well. So enough of my yak, and that's the overview of the trip. I'm going to be digging deeper over the coming weeks into parts of the trip and into some of the great people that I met and some of the great food that I ate and am still eating. So, stay tuned for that. What else should I talk about? I got an awful lot of really good feedback about last week's podcast with Michael Sellers. Folks really responded to the honesty and the vulnerability, I think, that Michael showed in digging deep into the effort involved in starting up his solo bakery in New York. And thanks to everybody that wrote about that. I need to pull all the emails I got together, and maybe we'll do an email segment next week, because it seems an awful lot of folks are reaching out and have some very nice things to say about the show and about the guests on the show. And I want to give them really good shout outs. So, but I'm going to do that next week, I think. If you haven't heard last week's show, finish this one first, but then go back and give a listen to the Michael Sellers episode from last week, because it's a strong one for sure. So there you go. Let's get into the conversation that I had about 10 days ago with Arlo Brandel, certified bread baker. Conversation I had at his bakery, Tecumseh Bread and Pastry in Tecumseh, Michigan. Here we go. Well, so first off, thank you for inviting me into the new bakery.
Yeah,
because this is glorious, and
as my wife watches, I'll openly admit, so like my child.
So yes,
she knows.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I once described my mixer as my most valuable possession, and the guy said, "You mean more than your kids?" And I said,
"Are they listening?"
Yeah, kind of think so. Yeah, I said, "Well, you know, this one's paid for, right?"
Yeah, still got college ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. So no, but it's cool. And so you're what, 2 days, 3 days from opening?
Yep. It's Sunday. We're opening on Wednesday. I've been here since Friday making everything to get ahead.
Awesome. So
I expect to have to remake, I've been prepping so that Wednesday, Thursday, I'm in good position before the weekend.
Right.
And so I'm hoping on Wednesday and Thursday, I can prep for the weekend ahead of me.
Yeah. So now that you're in the retail space, are you still going to be doing the markets, or just going to be here?
Right now, I'm not. The markets end in another week here in town, and with the manpower that I have, it's kind of limited. But I would entertain the idea next year if I have a nice staff that would be willing to kind of expand, maybe go down to Ohio, Sylvania.
Okay.
But right now, I've got no inspiration to.
So how come the retail space? Because it wasn't that long ago that we were talking that you're like, I'm just going to work from the garage and it's peaceful and I got the house here. And then when I said I was coming out to Michigan to see that, you said, well, come see the new bakery that's just about ready to go.
That's right. And kind of like what my wife said at the time, I was teaching as well. And I was kind of hoping that I could do farmers markets and then teach. And then in the summertime, just go back to the farmer's market. But I realized that, like, we had a serious discussion of, like, well, wintertime, there's no farmer's markets. Right. I love baking so much. And I realized I hated teaching so much, too. So it came down to, like, well, what will we do? And right. The whole goal was to keep it small.
Right.
And so when you walked through my bakery, you saw that, like, my production kitchen is still under 500 square feet.
Right.
I just happen to have a place to actually sell the product to people who walk in, which with the garage, the Department of Agriculture was like, yay, can't do that.
Oh, and then okay.
There was ordinances with the city of a time frame of days that I could actually sell products as well. Sure. So it's like I couldn't have people over at 6 a.m. to get baked goods because the neighbors wouldn't like that.
Gotcha.
So now it was like, how do I capture that small, intimate feeling? How can I stop what I'm mixing to go say hi to everybody and obtain that? And so when I talked to you, I said it was the right thing right now.
Yep.
And I stand by that because life changes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm able to keep that little hint of small and quaint so that I accept my cap and my limitations here.
Sure.
And that's... Yeah. Where I'm now. I'm here and I'm now and I'm happy.
Yeah. Because it's the same oven and it's the...
Same equipment. Everything was just moved to a new location. Yeah. Nothing is, other than building countertops and redoing floors and painting, that's the only new stuff.
Yeah. And just like a display area and a coffee pot and a till.
Yeah. I mean, I was drinking coffee, but you know. Well, yeah. Now everybody else can drink it with me.
So. Yeah, for sure. Maybe pay for the beans a bit, but yeah. No, that's great. Like it looks absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. It really does.
The, you know, good light and colorful walls, and you're just off Main Street Tecumseh.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking earlier about, you know, awesome restaurant across the street. Kitty corner to this is the cheese and wine and
charcuterie.
and we were just at the microbrewery and pub across the way here, across the parking lot for lunch. So there's like a serious food corner in town too.
We got a market.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I'm excited, and I'm staying with my aunt, like I said, and so she's excited. She's not a real bread person, I'm learning, but which is weird because we're related. But she said all of her girlfriends in town are extremely excited. So it's like they're quivering, waiting for Thursday. So I
laughed because I had someone come in and say we were looking at a home around here, uh-huh. and the realtor was like, "Well, you should know we're getting another bakery in town." That's great.
Yeah. love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And it's, well, and one of the things, like, and I know when we talked before, I got the sense, but I never really did until I saw your board, like your product board here, is just how much.
Expansive?
Expansive, perhaps. Just the range of stuff, especially on the pastry side. Like you really go to town.
So that's just a small selection right there you're seeing. And what happens is on a daily basis, I'll make 20 to 25 kinds of bread, and then the pastries are just, honestly, it's all over the place. And everything sells really well, and I've actually over time taken away the things that haven't. Mm-hmm. So it's still pretty remarkable because everybody's willing to, after a bit, try something new.
Yeah.
And then it's like they still come around and be like, well, I'll still buy the Italian.
Okay.
But I really want that, like, that Kamut spelt oat loaf because what we see in this town is specials. Like I market, I'll be like, this week only I'm doing that cider glazed bourbon cream croissant, and everybody will be buying that.
Well, sure.
And then they're like, well, I have to get the chocolate croissant too because so-and-so like it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it keeps me occupied. I love trying and failing.
Yeah.
And this allows me to.
Well, yeah. And so it sounds like, well, recognizing that teaching isn't as... And well, as nice as you wanted it to be, now you've got a chance to go year round with this. So,
yeah,
so awesome, and still from a production perspective, pretty much keeping it solo. Hey,
yeah, pretty much it's going to be solo. And then on top of that, I got the okay by the department to be doing small, intimate, like 4-person teaching classes.
Yes,
and so I'm actually doing wine and cheese pairing with the Boulevard Market across the street. And so I'll be doing. I've already drafted, and thankfully we auctioned off a class for a Boys and Girls Club
there
for like $2,000. And it's like this little, and so it all donation. So when Allie, when I was in Rhode Island, texted me being like, did you see what the class went for? I was like, no. And then she told me, I was like, wow, you know, like
wow.
And so it's going to be, what we're going to do is have about 3 adults, maybe 4 adults. And I'll do like a 6-hour class on here's all the different kinds of rye. It's not just with caraway.
Oh, man.
And then Boulevard Market will come over, bring some cheese that pairs, alcohol. And then we'll just sit there at the end for an hour and discuss, hey, it's not just caraway seeds.
That's
a lot
awesome.
Going on with rye. And so I'm going to be doing things like that. So I fulfill and quench my need to teach because I love it.
Sure.
And then now I'm able to get 4 more people to be like, you know what? Rye bread's actually really good. And they'll go tell other people. And so that is how I'm coming to terms with the, I'm not good at teaching high schoolers, but.
Oh, yeah. But there's a lot, you know. Yeah, my daughter's just finishing up her arts education degree. And it's the same thing. It's like she will be teaching people. But it might not be in a classroom, right? Like, she's not too sure about this, even though she's going to have the degree. Am I going to go teach high school drama or something? But she's going to be teaching something.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's cool. That, and good news with about getting the okay to do that, because we used to do small classes and stuff at our place. And it was, I was too tired to do them more often, but it was so much fun when you do them. And it brings folks together and the buzz created from one class or one tasting or whatever is way beyond the work involved. So that's great. Oh, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. That's really cool. So yeah, well, and then I don't want to go over too much old ground, but I do know I saw a thing in the Guild newsletter that you got your certified bread baker qualifications. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
I'm excited.
That's really cool. I was really excited to see it because it was sort of like they haven't been passing too many. Like
They've got a what Mitch Stamm told me is it's less than 50% pass rate right now. And then also, I mean, this number will go up in time.
Sure.
They let me know they're all excited that I'm number 7 and I was excited. And eventually, I hope this number is in the hundreds. Thousands, as it will. I just think that for some, we're too busy. Others don't see a need for it.
Right.
And then there's also the, will I pass? And to be honest, like that was like, I've said before, I'm like, I do this 360 days of the year. I love bread more than life, it seems like sometimes. And like, I'm willing to do anything to make a great loaf of bread. And I get that not every day I'm making the best loaf of bread.
Right.
And so that is a determining factor because when I went there, I was anxious, I was scared, I was nervous, but I like reverse engineered it. I looked at every single optimal outcome and then every negative outcome and said, no matter what, I'm just going to keep baking bread the rest of my life.
Right on.
And so I think for a lot of people, that anxiety is not as high as it is with me.
Right.
So in time, we're going to see more people pass. But once it happened, I was super thankful. And I'm looking for the pastry one to come up.
Yeah.
I mean, from there.
That's great. Well, you know, it's I was reading through the requirements and stuff. And sort of like, okay, so I'm going to pay $500 to go bake in a room with my heroes watching me and just be scared out of my wits.
Yeah.
It's like that's, I haven't quite got that one figured out. So so I'm hopeful that I don't want this to come out wrong because, in a different way, you and Allison are heroes of mine because of what you've built here and stuff. But it was like seeing a guy that I know and that we've talked to, and it's like, oh, okay, like Arlo is a really, he's a normal dude, right? Like, and you got, you know, and that you did that as it, hopefully it inspires other folks to go. This says, you know, you don't have to go, you don't have to be on a Coupe du Monde team.
Oh, yeah.
To get the certification, right?
I always think, I'm like, there's, every day I step at the foot of the bakery, I think to myself, I'm like, there's people like Don, there's people like Martin that are so amazing and do excellent bread every single day of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm just the guy who bakes bread.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what I am. I'm just a guy who bakes bread in a small town. There's a million of us who do this. And that was the thing. As soon as I got that, like Daisy Chow, like sent me a text message. Congratulations and everything that. Cause I'm just, people probably read that and like, who the hell's Arlo? And like what I told you is like, what's an Arlo? And it's like, and that's like, that's fine. That's fine. And that I did it because for me, I wanted to come back to my town and say, I have a commitment and a passion to this product mm-hmm. that I'm delivering. And this is a level of excellence yeah. that I decided to obtain. No mm-hmm. one needs to do this. Right. No one needs to go spend that money to right. have be judged. It's yeah. like, if you make great bread, then by all means, continue yeah. to make great bread. For me, it was just that level. So when that customer comes in and says, oh, so you're an artisan baker, yeah. and then I just talk their ear off about percentages, about milling flour, about why the hell this bread is so special right. today at this moment,
right.
I can just like captivate them. And then at the same time, just hopefully bring other people to be like, you know mm-hmm. what? I also want to take that test. I want to achieve that standard that we've set. But I hope it continues to grow. I mean, sure. that's the thing right now that sure. I think they're having a little bit of a hard time with, but
yeah. Yeah. Like, well, yeah, me too. Like it's, well, it's like everything that the guild does. I think there's
slow
there's,
rise,
slow rise. Yeah. But it's also, there's that commitment to trying to get a shared language and a shared
yeah.
bit of a shared understanding of, you know, what it is that we do. And the, you know, the certification is kind of like a next step with that, right? Where it's like to say, you know what, we can talk the shared language, but we can also, deliver the goods, you know, through the practical bit.
Right? And so, when I was just reading the recent newsletter with Nikki talking about how Americans don't like to standardize in that yeah. sense. And that's true. It's like my panel van. I mean, mm-hmm. I have no problem knowing that you also make 100%, you know, flour, 65% water,
yeah, yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
1.8% salt. You and I are going to end up at a very different end product.
Absolutely.
But if we follow that and we just call it pan au levain, I mean, that's fine by me. I mean, I'm yeah. not trying to hide anything I do. It's,
right.
it's bread at the end of the day. And yeah. my grandma made it, my, mm-hmm. you know, and like so on and so forth. And so having that standard, what we're talking about, we at the certification, I was mentioning to someone about how I don't even do my formulas the same layout as the bread baker's.
Thing. Right.
I have converted some to yeah. that, but like mine are still a little bit different.
Right.
And so if that's the next step is like, I need to convert it. So when I bring a baker in, they can look at it and go, I'm familiar. I mm-hmm. recognize that. Mm-hmm. Then I will.
Yeah.
And if I need to call my losses, it's like, yeah. it's not just about what I do. It's about what we all do
right.
together.
Yeah. And I think, well, I think that's part of why they came up with that was to, for folks that maybe aren't going to open up their own place, but are going to travel around and gain experience, that at least you've got the
yeah.
Something that says like, I understand this this method or this nomenclature and this
you know,
body of language very well.
You know that with that 65% hydration, what you're going to expect out of that loaf of
yeah.
bread, and
yeah.
then you can be like, well, I should mix it like this or so on and so forth,
yeah.
and that's good. I mean, we cool. need that in our industry is to set up something that it's not just an entry-level position. I mean, it
yeah.
can be and everything
yeah.
like that, but there's also a set standard that when people walk in here, they can, you know, we can have a professional come in and go, yes, I know how
yeah.
to do this and take off from here.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it's, I guess it says to me as well, like if you've gone through the work to do that, and in the same way that you've gone through the work to set up this space,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you know, you're here in Tecumseh for the long term, you're here as a baker for the long term, this isn't a hot trend, and the next hot trend you're going to jump on that one, right? It's like
mm-hmm.
there's a commitment behind it as well, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, neat. Well, and then I don't know, I guess back to your place and that kind of thing, it's like we got to hang out this afternoon with your lovely wife Allison and just talked a little bit about how you guys work together on this thing and how are you going to
continue to be married?
No, I'm not so much to be married, but I think to take this plunge and go hard with this place and also still see each other.
Because
you're both working in this thing. It's not like you're here
yeah.
and she's doing another job.
And
right?
so, yeah, she surprised me with the saying that she's going to come back, which
yeah,
yeah. was, you know, heartwarming. Anyone who followed the Arlo memoirs knows that she started with me and it was hours and hours each day that this happened. And now we kind of wisened up, but I think
yeah.
that's the wrong word is that I've heard this discussed before, but how can we have better lives as bakers?
Right. Yeah.
No matter what, at the end of the day, and everybody knows me is like, I have to wake up early. I have a product to make
yep.
that is a breakfast
yep.
product.
Sure.
It's just, that's what it is. But like, do I need to start work at 11 PM anymore?
Right.
It's like, no. And so we sat down, Allie and I, and kind of thought about it. And now like it's hard. I've hired people now, right. Like two part-timers, and it's like, well, they allow me to maybe leave an hour or two early, mm-hmm. and they allow my wife to come in a couple hours later. And so that gives us that little bit of personal space, but then we have the crossover, and then someone who I fully trust and know is sure. competent to watch over when I'm not there.
Sure.
And that itself is hard for me. Yeah. And so how we're going to make that happen is understanding we have our strengths and weaknesses. And I just need to be back there busting out 500 croissants in a day and yeah. a ton of bread while someone's up there making those calls with the customers or wholesale,
right.
because I don't need to do that as much anymore. Yeah, I need someone to tell me, you need to make 100 of these tomorrow. And then it's like, yep. I formulate, I can do that, but
yep.
how?
Yep.
I don't need to be saying like, well, let's make a deal. And then mm-hmm. when I have time, I guess I'll go back to the kitchen and start
right.
working.
So. Right. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Like for me, if, you know, in my experience, when you're working production, you've got a certain set of variables and that, and then, you know, doing, you know, if you're doing price negotiations or delivery time negotiations, it's like, I can't keep those numbers in my head. Too. Yeah. This is too hard
to lose a formula.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to get pushed out there.
You know, that's when, you know, the timers better be loud or else I'm going to leave something in the oven. So, no, that's great. And I hope you guys are able to, you know, take some walks or have some time together outside of here, because that's awesome. Well, I appreciate the chat, man. It's great for the update.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad I got to see you guys in person again.
It's been excellent.
And you know, as this entire trip across Ontario and down into Michigan has proven, you know, it's perfect. We're a little bit off with our timing because I should have come in a couple of days to. But I appreciate that box of goodies that you've got for
yeah,
me.
No worries.
And so we'll be tucking into those. But I just you know, like always, just wish you, you know, huge success. And I know the town, from what I've been hearing, is excited as all get out. So I hope you guys have a really good, really great opening, and that it just keeps on going from there.
Yeah,
so
maybe in 5 years, I'll be like, Mark, you got to come and check out the global operation.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To come see bread and pastry
worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made sense yeah. at the time.
Well, I've got some friends in Australia. So, so when you want to open there, you know, I know all the cool kids are opening in Asia. So, you know, come down to Australia and stuff, and we'll set you up in Melbourne. But
perfect.
Right on. Okay, man. Well, appreciate the chat. Oh, thanks so
thank
much.
You.
Okay.
And there you have it. That was Arlo. I can report to you that since we had that conversation on the 30th of September, he has opened successfully and to a booming business in that first week from everything I have seen on Instagram and everything my aunt has sent to me. She sent a copy of the front page of the Tecumseh Herald, and there's Arlo with a big smile and a bunch of pastries on a tray for the story. So folks are very happy there, and I'm very happy for him. You're not going to find two nicer people than Arlo and Allison. So I really hope things go well for them and they have an excellent winter, and just grow to really continue to love what they're doing, because it's clear through the talks I've had with Arlo that he really does love what he's doing. So when you love what you do and you have a community of people to support you, life can be pretty good. So way to go, Arlo. Good luck over the coming weeks and months and years. And who knows, now that you're the first two-time guest on the show, maybe next year you can be the first three-time guest. We'll see how that goes. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. I hope you liked the show today. I'll have another show for you next week, as usual. In the meantime, please, you know, if you've got a friend, how about this? If you have two friends that you think would get a kick out of listening to this show, why don't you share the website with them? RiseUpPod.com. RiseUpPod is all one word. Just send them the link and say, hey, go give this show a listen, because, you know, the more people that listen to the show, the better warm vibes and energy that I get. And then it just continues the cycle from there. So have a great week. if you're Canadian, hope you got over Thanksgiving and got a bit of a rest after that. If you're in the States, well, you've got another couple of weeks before things get really crazy for you. And if you're, say, in Australia or Lebanon or the UK, I just hope you're having a good week and enjoying the work that you do. So have a great week. Happy baking. See you next week. Thanks.